They're forecasting possible energy price hikes of 30 to 50% this year. On top of a recession, it's hardly good news. We've been warned about this for at least 30 years, but we've been dinosaurs slow in adapting to the warnings. Obama's got his new Energy for America plan, but is it possible we're too late to change? I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and today I'm thinking with somebody else's head, the Kepi Motor, revolutionizing science, technology, and energy. You know, sometimes there's so much happening at our International Society of Analytical Trilogy in Sao Paulo, Brazil, I literally don't know where to begin to bring you up to speed. The revolutionary discoveries and landmark psycho and sociological wisdom emerging from this Brazilian school of analytical trilogy, founded by Dr. Norberto Kepi, are impressive. Dr. Kepi's TV show is now being aired in 45 countries and 221 channels worldwide. Episodes of this podcast have been downloaded over 250,000 times. Our newspaper here has a weekly circulation of about 50,000. Dr. Kepi's clinic is one of the largest private clinics in Latin America and is home to groundbreaking work in psychosomatic medicine coordinated by Dr. Claudia Pacheco, a frequent contributor to Thinking with Somebody Else's Head and my co-host on an upcoming live internet radio call-in show on bbsradio.com beginning March 10th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Be listening for Healing Through Consciousness. There's lots more to say, let me tell you, but I think you get the picture, don't you? This is a hotbed of the newest research into human potential and psychological science, and it's rock-solid stuff, let me tell you. No matter what area you want to enter, whether it's relationships or health or money or corruption and power, the arts, you'll find a perspective here that is new, fresh, provocative, and causes us to rethink most of what we think we know, in a good way. You can check out our portal site to sort of get an update on all the things that are going on here, www.trilogia.ws. That's Trilogia. Trilogia, trilogia.ws. Well, maybe the hottest development here these days is the Kepi Motor, a light-years development in the capturing of free, essential energy. Let's find out all about that and something about the revolutionary new physics principles behind it, too, with one of the inventors today, Brazilian engineer Cesar Sauss. Cesar, I'd like to begin with looking at the current state of thinking. Yes. Everybody knows there's an environmental problem. Everybody knows there's an energy problem, that we need to make some solutions to that really quickly. The new Secretary of Energy, physicist Stephen Chu, was speaking in the New York Times recently that the world's energy and environment problems would require Nobel-level breakthroughs in three areas. He said electric batteries, solar power, and the development of new crops that can be turned into fuel. And I felt as I read this that he doesn't know about the Kepi motor. He's missing something. He's very linked to the material level of things.
This kind of thinking belongs to the mainstream, right, of technology. All technology in this planet is based on material combustibles, on material sources of energy. So if you think of getting electricity, you think about the hydroelectric to get energy from levels of water, right? Or you think about nuclear power plants, or you think about coal, or there are many other forms, but all of them require a primary source, material primary source. And because of this thinking, we are destroying our planet. You see, so people are attached to this to this frame of thinking, because they do not see a solution for that. They do not have another point of view. Dr. Kepi says that energy creates matter, not the other way around.
Good. Let's go into that in a minute, but let me continue on your thought, because yeah, I think you're saying it very well. I remember an interview that you and I participated in with a man from National Public Radio in Florida, and he was, at the beginning of his show, he was praising the situation in Brazil, where you and I live, where they're using biocombustibles,
yes,
now that are better for the environment, mainly sugar cane, which is creating a new type of biofuel, which is better for the environment. But what they didn't say, what they don't know,
is that the planting of sugarcane absolutely destroys the ecosystem of the soil. It makes it like a desert. It just completely takes the nutrients out, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah, so everybody knows that any kind of monoculture, all monocultures, they sterilize the lands.
Yeah.
So sugarcane plantation requires huge areas. Imagine to feed all the cars with sugarcane, with alcohol. We would need to turn a big part of our territory here, Brazil, which is a very like a fertile country, would have to become a country to produce alcohol for cars. And this is everything we don't need.
No.
One thing is to have the lands appropriate for production of food. Other thing is to have the same lands for production of alcohol for cars.
Sure, and the main point I think you want to make and that I want to make is that we can't continue to get energy only from material. This is the inverted idea in science, isn't it?
Exactly, Richard. We keep thinking that energy comes from material primary sources. This is the problem.
And how do we break that thinking? Because that is entrenched. It's sort of ingrained in everyone's mind, of course, from the physics world, as we see Stephen Chu having that attitude as well, to everybody. Everybody thinks that we get energy from the food, we get, things come from material sources. How do we begin to break that thinking?
First of all, we have to accept the idea that electromagnetism is not a primary source of energy like physics believe. Physics believes the electromagnetic sources, forces, they come from electrons, from material particles. So, in fact, Dr. Kep, in his book, The New Physics Derived from a Disinverted Metaphysics, he gives us a different view of that. He says the energy of the vacuum creates the electromagnetism. So, for Dr. Kep, the electromagnetism is not a primary source, but is a secondary source. And this changes completely the way we make technology. This changes completely the way we can use energy. Because think of this, Richard. You need batteries to create energy, electricity. This is what we believe
in now. The old view, yes.
Yeah, in the old view. But in our new view, we take electricity out from space, from empty space. What do you think about that?
Well, one thing, I guess it's not empty anymore, is it?
No, exactly. The empty space is full of energy, is energy. Once you can harness this energy, you have the entire infinite cosmos for you. It's a huge fuel deposit.
Fuel source.
Fuel source, yes.
You said at one time, you said, we don't have an energy crisis at all. We have infinite amounts of energy in the universe. Let me quote from Dr. Kepi's book, maybe as a way of focusing us in on this idea, Cesar. He said, planets, star, in his book, The New Physics, Dr. Kepi says, planets, stars, comets, and galaxies move inside an almost absolute energy which determines all existence, and which ancient scholars called ether, a kind of fluid found in the vacuum of space. Therefore, we must disinvert our notion and see that energetic forces are extremely powerful, maintaining everything that exists. What is he talking about here?
This is extremely interesting. Behind this thought, Richard, imagine if we think like the scientists today, the vacuum being an empty space, all matter will have an end. So our cosmos is doomed to an end, which they call a thermal or thermic death, because all matter is losing energy in the form of heat, is losing movement and heat, and until it will get a certain point, everything will be dead. This is one of the theories they believe, because they believe the vacuum cannot, nothing can come out of the vacuum.
Yeah, right, and everything is non-renewable, right? If we use it up, we use it up and it's gone.
So this has cosmological implications. Once you accept the point of view that the vacuum is full of energy, and also on top of that, you accept that this energy is also organized form of energy, because our material world is organized, the planets, they are organized, they are harmonic in cosmos. They are all in their situations, They are all harmonic, one in relation to the other. So it means this energy has in itself the order. So you have to accept that the basis of the cosmos is order, is harmony, is beauty. And so this gives a completely new approach for science. We believe it's dangerous to go out in the space and find black holes that will suck us to other dimensions and kill us. I don't know. They give so many crazy ideas about what they think the universe is. No, we could say that the universe is completely harmonic, and it can also sustain the human form of life in many different planets.
It's not dangerous, then.
It's not dangerous. It's a thing we have to be accustomed to. We have to be accustomed to the idea that many civilizations outside the planet Earth may exist.
Yes, Dr. Kepi says that the knowledge of the phenomena in physics is difficult because of this missing this one key element, that they don't consider a previous form of energy which forms all matter. What is this?
This is interesting because you see the planets, they are elements, material elements, in resonance with their stars. If they are in resonance with their stars, they get energy from the stars through resonance and not through the space, not through the particles the sun emits towards the planets, for example, you see. So life can be sustained much more by the resonance the planet has with its stars than with the particles themselves. So this new physics says that this force, a transcendental force, creates the planets and gives conditions for life too, because it's an organized form. So life is the most basic form of energy in the universe. So all planets, if you leave them, they must have conditions or develop conditions to have life.
Are you saying that there is life on lots of different planets in the universe then?
This is a logic consequence of this, what I'm saying. If you accept the energy of the vacuum is organized, you have to accept that many other planets must be like ours.
This is a subject for another podcast. We will touch this subject because this is very interesting, because we think that the conditions for life are extremely fragile, that they can only exist within an environment, an atmosphere like we have, a very thin shell of atmosphere with certain conditions, and this is what we think.
Yeah, in this book, The New Physics, Dr. Kepi also comments about this. Our science is based on Aristotle. And Aristotle says that the greater comes from the lesser. So he developed the science based on this thought, an inverted metaphysical thought. So scientists today believe the conjunction of many small factors can lead to a greater factor. And not the other way around, as Dr. Kepi proposes. Life is a consequence of something greater than it. Not from bacteria and temperature of the planet, the pressure of the planet, distance from the sun.
The thickness of the ozone layer.
Yeah, this is crazy. We will never account for all the variables to put them together and conclude, okay, that planet can have life or not. But if you come from the other way around, you see, okay, what is in the basis of life of everything? So is the energy, essential energy of space. And this essential energy is organized. So this energy is responsible for all the smaller elements you find. Even our thinking depends on it.
And of course, you're touching your finger deeply into the theological aspect of Norberto Kepi's work, that this organization of the universe comes from...
Exactly.
A quality of being, not from a random chance mutation, but from something really like a being that's organized.
And let me comment one thing, Richard. Science came from metaphysics. But today, because of the positivism of Augusto Conte, we have a materialistic point of view. And we discarded metaphysics as something not serious. But look at what happens today. Science is evolutionist. And evolutionism implies a variable time. Time is a variable that is in the essence of the evolutionism.
One guy said that actually all life is genetics plus time.
But time itself is a secondary variable. It's not a primary variable, because in the transcendental world, where this energy is, there is no time, there is no space, there is no matter. So you can never organize a science with secondary variables. So if you are organizing a way of thinking based on time, space, and matter, you are out of knowledge.
Interesting. Well, let's go to the Kepimoto now. This is enough of our metaphysical discussion, because it's very fascinating and interesting, and but a little bit abstract. Let's come to the motor. I just took something off the website today. What is the Kepimoto? And the answer to that is a highly efficient motor developed by you and Roberto Frascati,
yes,
based on principles from Dr. Kepi's book, The New Physics, derived from a disinverted metaphysics. And in here, you say the motor significantly reduces the consumption of electricity to generate the same mechanical power or torque compared to conventional electrical motors.
Well, this, what you said, is already out of date, right?
Okay. That's the problem with websites, right?
Yeah, problem with science also. When you do something, it's very like dynamic science. I work in the laboratory the entire day, you know, there with my friends developing the Kepimoto. Since the date we made our first prototype, this was 1 year ago in February, you can have any efficiency you want, even greater than 100%. And this is contrary to the laws of physics,
of
specifically to the thermodynamics, second law of thermodynamics.
What's the highest level of efficiency?
You have motors that get to 99 and 98, but this is asymptotic curve. The most you can perfect one motor using the same technology, this traditional technology, will never surpass 100. This will be always closer and closer to 100, but never surpass. It's a restriction of our technology.
And you're now saying that you're achieving over 100%.
Over 100%. This is called over unity machines.
Over unity machines, which everybody's been looking to find for.
Yeah, Richard, in old times, they called the perpetuum mobile, the motus perpetuum, right? Even Leonardo da Vinci.
Motion, right? Yeah.
Leonardo da Vinci spent a long time of his life trying to make one of these devices.
But what is the Kepimoto? What's the principle behind it? Tell us as much as you can without revealing all the secrets, if you don't feel that's right. But how does it work? What is it's a series of coils, of magnets?
Yeah. All the motors, the electric motors, it has coils and magnets, permanent magnets, or not. You can use it with electromagnets as well, like the other motors, you know. And this motor, it has a specific design and utilizes pulses of energy. Because the pulses of energy, we discovered that you can get more energy than you put into the system.
Pulse of energy, meaning an electrical pulse coming from a battery or an AC power source.
Yes, DC
power source. You put a pulse of electrical energy into the system.
The system
that you've created, and then what happens?
What happens is that the system begins to behave in a different way than the others, alternate or continuous current, direct current. And so with appropriate design, engineering it a little bit, you can harness this excess of energy and transfer to the system. So the efficiency of the motor increases very fast, you know, when you have the torque and high efficiency.
Right. So you're just putting little pulses of energy, maybe not little. What's the voltage that you're putting in as a pulse of energy?
Any voltage. It can be from 12 volt, 9 volts,
okay.
So 1.5 volts.
All right. You got a 9-volt battery, and you're putting in a pulse of energy from this 9-volt battery fairly quickly, I'm assuming. But that's not enough to drive torque of a fan or anything like that. So what else is happening within this system?
What happens is this. The coils and the rotor, the spinning part of the motor, they must enter in resonance. Because the very idea is this, Richard. There is a resonance between the electric elements of the motor and the magnetic elements of the motor. When they get into a specific resonance, they enter in resonance with what? With this essential energy that I said before. And when you have this phenomenon of resonance, the smaller source begins to get energy from the greater source. And what is the greater source? It's the vacuum. And the smaller source is the motor. So the motor works like a radio with a radio station. The radio station is the vacuum and the motor is the radio set. And when they get in resonance, you will begin to extract energy from outside the system.
Let me try to clarify this even more, Cesar, because this is a new idea. And so for most of us, we're kind of going, what? How are we? Okay, so Dr. Kepi says in his book that the magnetic field is not generated by the magnet.
For sure, no.
But simply captured by the magnetized iron in the same way that the energy that forms our feelings and ideas is not produced by the brain, but captured from the exterior. We are capturing devices. This maybe is an essential element in Dr. Kepi's work. I'd like you to try to explain a little bit more.
Yeah, Richard, this is fascinating because Dr. Kepi's work began with psychotherapy. And when you have a sick person, mentally speaking, a sick person, and he undergoes the trilogical psychotherapy, and he begins to get healthier, he starts to enter more in resonance with this same energy through his feelings and thoughts. So if you have better thoughts and better feelings, your action will be also better. And with the better you get, the more energy you get because you are more in resonance with this energy. It's the same principle of the motor. The motor is just a proof of what happens in psychotherapy. So the motor, what we do is to make it, we force it to enter into resonance with the space so it gets energy from outside.
It's capturing, it's pulling in.
Yes, pulling in. And human beings can do the same thing in therapy. Once you do good action, like Dr. Kepi explains vastly in his books, you start to receive energy from outside, and this energy is able even to cure, to heal your sick tissues in your body. So that's why we here have noticed and we have witnesses, cures that people would say, wow, this is miraculous, but it is true, it's documented.
Because of therapy. The process of therapy, putting the person more in resonance with this essential energetic field of goodness, of truth, of beauty. Yeah.
You touched a very sensitive point now, because what is the Kepi motor? The Kepi motor is the very structure of the human being in a lower level, in a level of a machine. The Kepi motor represents the human being, the feelings and thoughts in technological terms. Is a technological device to represent the human structure. That's what it is.
Isn't that beautiful? One of the things I think for the Kepi motor that I love in watching you guys work, and I don't pretend to understand technologically what's happening, but I think it's a very beautiful physical proof of what Dr. Kepi has been saying philosophically and psychologically for many, many years, that we are truly capturers of information. Our motors today are very neurotic because they're working within the generation of electricity at a secondary level, not this capturing. And we human beings are the same. We're trying to live our lives based on what we think. We want to build our self-esteem. We want to create our careers. We want to develop better relationships instead of resonating with the truth of ourselves that already exists.
You said it all. You said that we want to be the builders of our own destiny in the sense that we think we are gods. But there is a superior force, and we must link to it. And by doing that, we have our destiny, the best of all.
Now tell me about what you're developing with the motor, because you're saying new developments coming every hour in the laboratory, and what I read from the website is already out of date. So what are you achieving here with this Kepi motor?
Well, lately we achieved and we confirmed the Overunity machine, and what means...
It's available on YouTube, by the way, if you want to see Kepi motor over Unity. There's a very nice video that Cesar and Roberto have produced that's published on YouTube now. Yeah. You can find it on the Kepi motor site as well, kepimotor.com. So those, just to put in a little plug there.
Even that motor of the video is already out of date.
2 days and
We had much better ones now. The power is increasing and the coefficient of performance is increasing fast. The way we engineer the motor, the outcome is much, much better. The only problem now is that so far it's low power until 18 watts useful. Okay. But let me clarify this. When I say 18, people will say, okay, oh, but that's too little. But take, for example, a fan, a domestic fan, a 60-watt domestic fan. How much of that energy it consumes from the power grid? How much do you think? It gets 60 out of the power grid. Do you know how much of this 60
I have no idea.
Is useful?
No.
Only maximum 5. It means the fan throws away 55.
Yeah.
It's like a vampire. These motors, they are vampires of the power grid. So the Kepi motor, we can make it with 4 watts produce the same 5 watts of a fan. So this is fantastic because you are creating more energy in mechanical form than electrical energy you are taking from the source.
You put in 4 watts, you take...
You get 5.
This is over unity.
So we did it 3 times, a little bit more than 3 times so far. And we can increase it... is limitless what we can increase. The problem, we are limited in our lab installations and we are limited with the time also to develop motors, and not that easy. We are only 3 guys working on that, you know.
What's happening with partnerships, other people participating around the world? Because people are buying the Kepi motor kits now. The Kepi motor manuals are available where they can understand and put together a simple Kepi motor.
Yeah,
what's happening with worldwide interest in this?
There has been a lot of responses, positive responses to
thousands of emails.
Thousands of emails, yes. And it's amazing. We don't even know what to do with so much response. This means the people are awakening for the energy problem. They really want to solve it and they want to help. They want to give us support somehow. And we are trying to deal with this, to organize all of these responses and try to enter in contact with these people and get this thing forward as soon as possible.
Okay. What are your plans for commercializing this, making it available? This fan you're talking about or any other motor, where are you in that process, Cesar? That's moving forward, I'm sure.
First of all, I would like the listeners to know that we granted this patent of the motor to the Association Stop the Destruction of the World, because they are extremely idealistic, and I consider myself idealistic and Roberto too, and we want to see the energy problem of the world solved as soon as possible. And so I believe the association is handling that, and the association knows what to do with this patent. And I know we have many contacts with enterprises, big enterprises, German enterprises, American enterprises who are interested in developing the motor, scaling it up, you know, because 18 useful watts is still too little.
Yeah, of course.
For big applications. But you already have a substantial range of the market covered.
And it's very important to say, too, that the science behind this is extremely well put together. It's a science that really is consistent in every area that you apply it. And so what we're talking about here is very early stages of a new development, and it's dynamic and
dynamic. Every week has been a surprise for us. Every week is a surprise. The first motor we did over Unity had 3 units put together. 1 week later, we achieved 3 times more power with 5 times less weight and less things, and just one rotor, just one unit. You know, so the thing is increasing fast.
Yeah,
I believe very soon we are expecting some material from China now. I believe very soon we will have a one horsepower motor. A little bit bigger than one hand, than your hand.
What I think is most important, wherever this goes, and it's going very fast, and it's going to become something really incredible, it's such a wonderful breath of fresh air from the usual way of thinking about science that even Stephen Chu, our new Secretary of Energy in the United States, doesn't perceive yet. So the world is totally ready for something completely new. And when the concept, the disinverted concept from Dr. Kepi's work, when that begins to enter, we're going to see an explosion of useful materials, motors, new ways of energizing the planet.
And also, Richard, there is one thing we didn't mention. If this motor is getting energy from the vacuum and transferring it into the second form, which is electricity and magnetism to make to spin, and it's over unity, it means it has an excess of energy. It produces more than it consumes. And the production, the more production, is not only in the form of mechanical form, but is being spread out to the environment. And this motor could be also a kind of stabilizer, energetic stabilizer for the environment.
Yeah, because it's taking this organizing energy from the vacuum of space, it's a beautiful energy. It's not a destructive energy in any way.
Many people have reported to have felt good near the motor, and we are exploring therapeutic possibilities for this new technology. Yes.
This is a brave new world down here, and our wish really is to share it with the rest of the world. Make sure you get on my mailing list to stay updated, rich@richjonesvoice.com. There's always something beautiful emerging out of Dr. Kepi's work. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. Talk to you next time.